They said.
A podcast where senior and junior leaders communicate with our communicators across the force.
This is a Army Global Communications podcast.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is the first time we're doing this. Pretty cool, huh?
It's a podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a podcast. Hernandez is here with us.
Yes, sir.
You just go by Hernandez?
Yes, sir.
You let your soldiers call you Hernandez?
No, Sergeant Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so I'll call you Sergeant Hernandez. So we haven't actually determined a name. Maybe it's going to be I Heard.
It could be I Heard. It could be they said. We don't know.
Okay. We are going to talk about some stuff. We're rolling right into this podcast. Hernandez is our guest today.
First guest. On the first episode.
Yeah.
How do we pick him?
Podcast, we don't actually have a name
apparently
for
people respect him out in the field. So they're going to listen to what he says.
It makes one of us. Maybe two of us. That's great. Yeah, we had a good discussion about why we're doing a podcast right now.
It was tense, almost. It almost got tense in the elevator.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was a little bit
like a board or something. Oh, no. Like I was being...
You weren't in on it, Hernandez. I mean, Sergeant Hernandez.
I have the tendency to sometimes come off tense. I don't mean to, guys.
Well, I'm just saying, it seemed tense.
I didn't know.
Rapid fire. Why? Why?
Oh,
why are we doing
well,
this?
Well, so
why?
There's a why drill to this. So
yeah,
let's,
I like it.
Let's
it's
get
a
why
drill.
This.
It's awesome.
Let's get into this. Not in a bored way. So, Sergeant Major Ferguson, why do you think we're doing a podcast?
Well, I think we're testing out this podcast medium because we want to make sure that we're delivering clear kind of information about, you know, what we do for you guys out in the field, what we do for the Army as communicators, understanding what you guys have for questions in the field, and then, you know, addressing those things, addressing the reality of what we hear is going on, that, you know, people are talking about things, people are saying things. We want to talk about those things too, and we want to clarify our position on some of those things and what we feel and think about them, and how we're here for you guys out in the field. So I think that's why we're having this podcast. I also acknowledge too that like 800 or something of you dialed into the all hands on Teams. When we look at those numbers and the people that dialed in, a lot of them were like our senior civilians, our senior officers, and our sergeants major. A couple master sergeants in there, a couple rogue NCOs who are trying to get in the know with the senior world. But we realize that the strength of our force in this field is our soldiers down on the ground, and also our brand new lieutenants that are doing the pilot program, our new majors that are new to the field, our brand new civilians. And we want to make sure we give them a medium that reaches them, that talks to them. And Sergeant Hernandez tells me that this does. People listen to podcasts, they watch podcasts to see what's going on. So we're trying to talk to you. Make sure we hit every one of you and answer your questions.
Sergeant Hernandez, what's your favorite podcast?
Sir, what I usually listen to is this Radiolab. It's a really cool podcast about just science mainly, but they go into like culture and things that are happening in the world. They do really well at audio storytelling. Like, you can really get lost in some of those stories.
Is it funny?
I love it. Some of them are. Some of them are a little more serious and kind of thought-provoking, but sometimes they do.
What's your next
like,
favorite one?
I mean, I don't know. That's the main
That's
one
just
that
the
I
one?
Listen to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always wonder where people listen to pods. So I listen on my way to work. I listen when I'm mowing the lawn, maybe when I'm working on the car. Some, you know, task that I don't have to put a lot of brain power in, but I can kind of soak it in. Where do you listen?
On drives, usually, is my main one. And then sometimes if I'm going on like longer runs, I'll throw on a podcast. Or bike rides, I'll throw on a podcast and just listen to as I'm doing whatever.
So considering how Sergeant Major articulated why we're doing this, why do you think, Steve-O, that the field needs to hear from us?
Well, some would say they don't need to hear from us, but I think it's super helpful if they do. Often, and that's kind of where we came up with this title, you know, they said. Often in the Army, as things trickle down, they get a little bit distorted when they hit, you know, the guys on the ground, the guys and girls who are actually doing the real work. And we're hoping that this will help clear some of that stuff up, right? We think it's important to connect at every single level without some of these filters that we often get, right? So this is us, the leadership of Army Public Affairs, sitting around a table and talking about the future of Army Public Affairs. I can't think of a better topic.
I dig it. Or maybe the current of Army Public Affairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this before I was in the seat. Actually, you were on leave. We were talking mm-hmm. on your Yahoo address a lot. you know, this is a one-way communication mm-hmm. venue. The Teams was a nice two-way for a lot of people, but we'll figure out different ways. Why do you think we're doing this?
So, sir, the conversation that we had with Sergeant Major the other day, I think for a lot of people, especially when I was coming up at Bragg, I didn't know ACPA was even a thing.
Right.
And to have a organization that dictates how the career field is going and what I do day to day, not knowing that they exist to me is an issue. Mm. So I think it's important for us and for y'all to kind of be that voice and to kind of get out as far as possible. That way, if soldiers down in the field have a question or don't understand why something's happening, they can say, oh, you know, up here in ACPA or now Army, you know, communication office, what yeah. are they doing and why are they doing it?
Yeah, yeah. I'll just add one more. And I think we talked about this a couple of times in different venues. We want to make this more like a family mm-hmm. than like mm-hmm. a, I mean, damn, you didn't even know we existed. That's, yeah, that's kind of, that hurts a little bit there, Hernandez. but I do think we got to bring the VI folks in mm-hmm. to let's make it more about Army communications. But I do, I also agree that there's a public affairs sergeant down there that doesn't know mm-hmm. we exist either. It's not so important that they know we exist as much as it's important that they know, like, we're part of the family, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the greater connectivity we have, we talked about this in the teams a little bit, the greater connectivity we have with the force, we're getting what you just said, ideas and problems and concerns, we're getting them faster, but also we've all screwed up so much, and that's not like a humble brag, that's like we've
legit
all screwed up a decent amount, and we can pass those lessons. Like, there's no reason mm-hmm. for any major or captain to learn the jacked up things that I did again on their own.
You just tell them.
Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so we want to, one of the questions I got after the teams, we said this during a teams call, but we never said how. I don't know how. How does somebody in the field, some captain, and I got a lot of emails, by the way, from captains and majors and stuff, but how does somebody say, look, we're getting ready to do this thing, a local media thing, here's what we're thinking about, how would you do it? What, they email us? I hate email.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I like Teams. The Teams chat me.
It's
right? But that's my method, right?
Yeah. Like,
I got an idea.
I mean,
I know I'm the old guy at the table.
Yeah.
The phone.
They got
Are
this
you?
Crazy thing
yeah.
Yeah,
it's
called a telephone.
Called a telephone.
It's amazing.
You can hear each other.
Pick it
voices.
Up, talk, go back and forth a little bit.
It's like the old school Teams call.
Problem is, nobody wants to call, you know, the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Well, there's a feeling that they feel like they're skipping their chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can speak for the whole field here where public affairs is super, super flat.
Mm.
Army comms is like, I always pride in being a little bit faster than J3 reporting cycle. You know, in big operations, I'm talking to the higher headquarters PAO, maybe all the way up to the Pentagon before the operational sit-rep breaches. There's some anxiety there, but there's also trust mm-hmm. amongst our field.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you, where do you think you're going next, young man?
So I'm hoping to go to DINFOS to be an instructor.
Okay. No.
No.
just kidding. So if you were going to, okay, if you're going to DINFOS, or if you're going to a unit, Would you ever reach out to Sergeant Major Ferguson?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
I felt like I've always had really good relationships with my NCOs. So there's NCOs down at Bragg who I can call at any time. My, you know, previous Sergeant First Class, I can call him anytime. And, hey, what do you think about, you know, if I'm doing this kind of for the soldiers?
Yeah, but she's the freaking Sergeant Major of all Army communications.
I think building that relationship with your NCOs as a soldier and as an NCO for your soldiers, that's the most important thing. Like having your soldiers, because they have to be able to call you, you know, when they're in trouble at the end of the day or whatever.
Yeah.
So telling your soldiers after they leave or when you leave, like, hey, call me. I'll always be able to answer. Maybe not that second, but, you know, later that day, the next day, whatever, as soon as I can.
That's good stuff, man. That's good. Yeah, I would say yesterday I spent 15, 16 hours at the center of our universe, Meade, Fort Meade. And I got to see all kinds of soldiers in different stages of their time in the Army, right? So, you know, I was over at Denfos rubbing elbows with the nerds over there and talking about curriculum and spent some time down with the Tangos, who we do love. We love the Tangos. Learning and kind of understanding from the Tangos what they do for the force. But then I went and talked to some instructors at the NCO Academy, talked to some students, talked to some 200 brand new in the Army. They've made it through basic, so they made the first part, but now they got to finish AIT to get out to the field. And in all of that, every single conversation I had, I said, hey, if I'm green on teams, hit me up. Hit me up if I'm not green on teams. But I also acknowledge that I don't want you to just hit me up, right? I don't want you to just remember, like, who I
That's
am,
good point, yeah.
right? I need what I would like for it to instead happen is find your sergeant or your staff sergeant or your sergeant first class and have them be the ones, right? So I asked everybody if you have, you know, a certain person in your life, a mentor, someone that's had a huge impact on you. And our default sometimes is that we pick, like, the most senior-ranking person that we've ever been around. And because maybe they said something and they inspired us. I want to kind of see if we can shift the culture a little bit and let our sergeants, staff sergeants, or lieutenant colonels be the ones, right? But in the meantime, if I'm green on teams, hit me up, right? Like, send me a note. But what I'm going to do and what we should all do is we're going to, all the people we know in the field that are hanging out right there with you on Bragg, right, that can offer you just as much, we're going to also tag them in at the same time. So it creates those trusted relationships. So it's not skipping your chain of command, you know, it's just maximizing this awesome network that we have across this community that is different than any other one. You're right. I mean, we are flatter than any we have to be. Right? That's the key to our success. And we can mentor at all different levels. We can be there for each other and not step on each other's toes. Right? We can do that. But at the end of the day, it's like you're saying it right now, Hernandez, Sergeant Hernandez. You're saying like what role you're going to play by watching what role we play. So it's perfect. That's a perfect dynamic. To have when it comes to, like, how do we communicate with each other? Every way, every single possible way, all the time, every day is how we communicate, I think.
That's Hernandez, awesome. What's the biggest thing we need to change in public affairs?
Good question.
So from the VI perspective, I mean, I think, as kind of Sergeant Major has said, and, sir, you had said, too, just incorporating VI into public affairs, but also if we're going to change the culture, communication, right? We are communication for the Army. Eyes and ears of the Army, both as public affairs and as VI.
What part of the culture needs to change?
So to me, there's always been a separation between us. We've always either thought we do the same thing and we kind of think we do it better than each other, or that we're two separate, completely separate things. So I think we just need to get better at realizing, okay, what are our roles and how do we help each other?
That's a good point. Do you think we do the same thing?
No, I do not.
Okay, I don't either. Sorry. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
So to me, as a 46 Victor.
Because I actually have no
idea. I know you do.
Oh, this is for me.
This is for you. This whole thing is for you.
Okay.
So for me, as a 46 Victor, we are trained in photography, videography, and graphic design. So we are content creators. We know what formats everything should be in. We know the best way to put stuff out. We know how to create the message, essentially. The 46 Tango is the kind of engineer behind the scenes to all of that. So yes, I can create the content, but I maybe technically it's not quite sound that the platform we're going to message on is there. So they're going to help me be able to transmit that content to wherever it needs to go. Mm-hmm. And then the 46 Sierra is the one that decides, hey, where does that content actually need to go? What kind of channels does it need to come out on? And they're also going to be the ones that kind of tighten up that messaging itself. So I can create an infographic, I can make a video, I can produce pictures, but they're going to be the ones that tell me what that kind of message needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're like a superpower trifecto, mm-hmm. and that can, you know, in the future, what we're leaning towards, that can like pick up from wherever you are together as a team of three, go into whatever environment we have, be able to make sure that what you're shooting is industry standards, professional. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest difference, right? Like, so we can do it. I mean, like, the public affairs side of the house, Sierras and Zulus are freaking amazing. There are some incredible storytellers out there, right? But some of their content is limited on how far it's going to go or the quality of it. Mm-hmm. Our VI guys spend a little bit more time digging into, like, what can these cameras do to really send that message? But it's got to be a message, right? So you mm-hmm. need your guider, which is your 46 Sierra, to guide you a message. And then your Tango, if you don't have your Tango, it doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now it goes somewhere, but when it hits the fan and we're out and we don't have any way to transmit anywhere, that Tango on that team is going to take care of that and make sure it transmits without us having to, like, borrow a signal soldier from mm-hmm. the million other things that are more important. So I look, and then all of you can do all things too. So you're teaching each other constantly. So, yeah, you know, you could transmit if you had to. Our Sierra could take a technically sound photo if they had. Everybody can do it all together. Like, it's the ultimate.
So we're geeking out a little bit. Yeah. But I just got to ask, why can't we just train this super smart guy to do it all? Why can't we just have one MOS?
Well, I think, I don't know, what do you think?
So to me, unlike a lot of MOSs in the Army, our career field is an art form, and there's a lot of stuff that we cannot just teach. You cannot teach everyone everything, mm-hmm. because then a jack of all trades, master of none, you're not going to be able to produce the quality that you would if I was solely focused on content.
But in the age of rapid information, flying all around the world, do you need that quality, or do you need just content?
I think there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
I think messaging as a whole for the Army needs to be professional. It needs to be quality. It needs to be thought through and, like, I don't want to say perfect, but it needs to be as good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
In a wartime environment, when we're out in the field just trying to get stuff back, I don't think necessarily, right? If, say, in a combat environment, your victor isn't able to take a picture for whatever reason, then yeah, your Sierra or your Tango should know how to be able to pick up the camera just as they're able to pick up a rifle and do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
We mentioned it a couple times. Let's talk about the name change. So what are we officially today?
Today, this very day, officially, yeah. On the books?
On the books.
We, the office that we occupy here in the Pentagon,
mm-hmm.
we're all public affairs officers. That's not changed. Mm-hmm. Not going to change. Mm-hmm. But here in the Pentagon, the sort of the headquarters, that's the Office of the Chief Army Public Affairs, also known as ACPA, mm-hmm. today. That's our name.
That's
you want to know why it's our name? Well, because I'd heard, So I heard they said that we changed the name to something else.
Army Global Communications, sweet-ass name.
GCO. Right? Yeah. So I heard they said they changed it to GCO.
They is me. Or
so
you?
Why is Steve standing up here saying we're still ACPA? That's the question.
So it's a good story.
Finally, because y'all are starting to lose me.
Yeah. Did you? I mean, we were getting
We got
deep.
A little nerded out. Sorry. Yeah. You let us, like, we were doing the thing. You can let us get away.
Headline on that is Dave Butler wants to combine all MOSs. So, do you know what we are? What the office is called?
So, as he said, officially, we're still ACPA.
We're still ACPA. Okay, why?
Historically, why? I don't know. I don't know, you know, when we kind of became our own office.
It's apparently, well, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if anybody knows that. I don't read a lot of law. But they said, the lawyers told me, that the Chief of Public Affairs is, in law, Title 10 U.S. Code, listed at the Chief of Public Affairs, who works for the Secretary. And therefore, there's an Office of the Chief of Public Affairs. So
ACPA.
ACPA.
So the did they send the Capitol Hill police to come down?
Yeah, well,
violating Title 10.
There were some folks that weren't super happy about this situation, and I did get talked to by the lawyers. I broke the law in
in your first week.
First week, yeah.
Second day,
yeah.
Third day.
But here's the good news.
Tell me the good
Everybody knows that. We need to change. One of the fundamental things, and what I haven't been saying enough, is we have VI out there, and we keep calling ourselves the Office of the Chief of Public Affairs, but you're in the family. Mm-hmm. And we need to become Army Communications in some name, shape, or form, if not only to include VI. But there's a lot of other reasons. We need the signal change. The Secretary is supportive, the Chief is supportive, the Director of Army Staff is supportive, and turns out I have to do some paperwork to officially make the name change, and so we're going to dabble. And I hate to talk about email all the time. On like my computer, I have one signature block, and on my phone, there's another signature block. And then in some meetings, they call us ACPA still. In some meetings, they call us GECO. Some of our reports say GECO. Some of them don't say anything at all.
I just put out the Keith L. Ware competition SOP. It says GECO.
Says GECO.
Yeah. I went full GECO in that one.
Everything that goes out Big Army that says GECO, I'm kind of like, okay. I think that's okay. Everything that's like internal Army headquarters that goes out GECO, I'm like, oof. They're going to be mad about that one again. So we'll clean it up.
Yeah. We'll get the paperwork done soon enough.
Yeah.
Well, so once again, mistakes, right?
Yeah. So right. It's so.
Sometimes change. Yeah. Sometimes you do that when you lean too far
sometimes
out.
Sometimes you misstep a little
sometimes
bit, right?
You misstep,
it's okay
just
to
a
misstep.
Tad
you know what?
That's better than not stepping at all, though.
It's better than not stepping. And in everything like we that. Do, there's a little bit of risk.
Absolutely.
In everything we do. Mm-hmm. In the Army, frankly, in life, there's always a little bit of risk. And one of our jobs, particularly, you know, at the leadership level, is to figure out how to best manage that risk. Right?
Yeah.
What risks can you take? What risks are not worth taking? How do you balance all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they're paying us to figure out. And that, frankly, in my view, that's what we're paying all of our sergeant majors,
Sergeants Major.
That's what they're paying our senior non-commissioned officers, our senior officers, you know, lieutenant colonels and colonels, is to figure that out. How do you do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Just keeping on the name change thing, I certainly wouldn't call it a misstep. I think it was a risk. Here's why I think it was a good idea. I knew I was aligned with the Secretary. Mm-hmm. I knew I was aligned with the Chief. I knew we had the intent. And the good news of this is that it certainly got everybody talking about changing ACPA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be clear, right, misstep and execution only. Right?
Yeah.
The concept
is
right on. Rebranding is an important part of change.
Absolutely.
Every Army senior leader now knows that this team is...
Doing things.
Wants to change ACPA and the Army Public Affairs, soon to be communications enterprise. So it's good.
Yeah.
Can I just quote, I love me some Sergeant Major of the Army, Mike Weimer.
Mm-hmm.
On the Unsubscribe podcast, he described, you know, you want a subordinate that that's not afraid to go into the breach, right? That's not afraid to go forward. You want people that are already forward, and you just have to hold on to the reins mm-hmm. enough, because if you don't, then they'll go like crazy. You know, go, what's that meme? Leon,
Oh, Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins, yeah, yeah. They'll go Leroy Jenkins on you. So you want them to, you know, just have enough tightness on the reins. Mm-hmm. Is that how we allow you to operate?
I believe so. I think a lot of the stuff, especially here in AMVID, we've been succeeding because y'all allow us to kind of do what we're supposed to do. The conversation that we had with Sergeant Major about this podcast, you know, we kind of helped guide what we believe would be best to kind of put the message out. So allowing us that freedom and that flexibility to do that is how we're going to succeed.
That's great. That's great. I am sympathetic, and I'm kind of interested in your take on this. Mm-hmm. I'm sympathetic that there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that are on the field that their chief of staff or commander or whoever has their friggin' thumb on, because, you know, public affairs is risky business, as you said before, Steve, and they don't have reins. Mm-hmm. They're behind, you know, we'll tell you when we need you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we got to break through then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, honestly, that's the art of doing this job or doing any kind of like staff position for a commander as you move up. They have differences of opinions. They have differences of the way they're going to lead their formations and interpret what the higher guidance is. And they maximize or kind of hold back certain things they have in their formations. So I think some of those of us that have survived and thrive to this point wearing the uniform doing this job, or our civilians too as well, have kind of navigated that area really well. But I think what we offer, you talk about risk a lot, and I really feel like this team specifically, we offer support for that. You know, like when you're going through that at those echelons and levels, like you reach out to us, right? And we will listen, help you, try to guide you in the right direction, and if necessary and required, step in if we can. You know, to be a voice for you, of that you actually are in line with what we're trying to achieve as an enterprise, as an army.
That's right.
We'll help you with it. I mean, I feel confident in this team that we won't just say we'll help you. We'll actually do the thing to help you and action it and be there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. It's a hard job on the way up. It is. And some of us have a better row at it than others, depending on where we land, you know. But it's not easy for anybody to kind of navigate the gray area of what we do sometimes.
Yeah, I just quote an old, he's actually our PAC NCO in Afghanistan, Sergeant First Class Lesh. If you're out there, way retired, long time ago. This is, this was in 2003. Where were you in 2003?
About 3 years old.
Oh, God, man, I was in Afghanistan. But he was just a crusty old kind of mean guy. And if a soldier came to our pack, you know, it was just a tent out in the middle, he would say, if you're going to come, you better come correct. Mm-hmm. And, like, meant, like, know what you're asking for, you know, present yourself like a soldier. He was a sergeant first class. He expected to be treated like a senior NCO that he was. And I'm just adding that to trust isn't, like, we're not gonna be able to create the trust for anybody out in the field. The reason that these guys trust me is because I know what the hell I'm talking about. Know what I mean? Yep. I read the news. I know the media. I understand the strategic environment. I mean, I spend a lot of time doing that, and you know, now luckily I've got a lot of experience I bring to the table. But you know, it's not like I can call the chief and say these guys don't trust me.
That's right.
You gotta earn it.
That's yeah. right.
And how do you earn it? People seem to trust you, Hernandez. Why?
I think it's just knowing.
I want to know why people trust you, man. I'm kind of questioning this whole thing. I'm just kidding.
For me, it's like you said, knowing what we're supposed to do, right? Being the expert in that field. For me, kind of what started it was I asked questions. I asked questions like from when I first got to Bragg, probably till about a year in, every day I had about 30 questions from my NCOs. Right, because I wanted to learn, what am I supposed to be doing? Why am I actually doing this? So as I started growing up and, you know, becoming a leader, I already knew what I should have been doing. And then when the edge case came up, then I just went to my NCO, hey, this is what I'm doing. You know, how do I need to do it better? And I think that's how you build trust, is knowing what you're supposed to be doing and then being able to say, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing right now.
Iterate.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
And I think communicating with your leaders and your soldiers, that's how you build that trust.
It takes a little bit of humility to do that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't always have to know exactly everything. Yeah. This guy.
I know, right? I told you.
But I got to tell you, it's a balance, right? You can't not know all the time either.
That's right.
Right? You have to. I mean, I expect people, you know, I see this around the force sometimes. I'm sometimes surprised at the questions that I get that the answer I want to give is, haven't you looked at this yourself yet? Right? You know, so you have to balance all of that, right? Yeah. Be an expert. Be an expert. Even experts have holes, you know, gaps in their swing, so to speak. But I expect people to be experts in public affairs and communications. That's what I expect. Come correct. Right? Do your research. Don't come to me with a half-baked proposition, with a half-baked situation. Bake it. Bake it.
Yeah. I think be hungry, too, to be in the know.
Be hungry. Be intellectually curious.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I've also noticed. I'm criticizing now. I'm being a critic, but it's important. Intellectual curiosity matters in life. It matters double in our world. Maybe triple. And a lot of times, folks will bring me something, hey, I got this query in from this reporter that says X and Y. But they don't even say, like, I'm always interested. I'm like, wow, that's a great question. I want to know that. But so I don't always get that vibe from folks that they're just like, it's another query.
Well, to be sympathetic, right, there's, you know, it's one of 17 queries that they, if your perspective is, I just got to get through this, then you're kind of doing yourself and your organization a disservice, I think is what you're saying.
No, that's definitely one of the things I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying this.
Oh, curmudgeon. No way.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it. Saying this business requires, you have to be an intellectually curious. You got to want to know the answer to these questions.
Yeah.
Just as much as, you know, whoever's asking the question. And if you don't, maybe you'd be better as a mechanic.
Yeah. A lot of times I think people ask, like, how did you learn how to do that? Like, how did you... How did you know to do that instead of the other thing? And I think, especially in this field, on the way up, it is a lot of that curiosity, leaning forward, feeling like, okay, I could do something with this. What do I need to do? Explore, like talking to people, figuring out what the right option is, taking risk, but taking it on the right things instead of just all the time risk, you know, listening. And then doing.
Were you talking to me when you were saying all the time risk?
I looked over there.
What did I do?
Gas pedal risk, like every day. Yeah, it's all those things, but it's the hungriness. We talked about this a lot too, of like, you know, how do we talk to everyone? How do we share everything? Because they said, no one told me, right? I didn't know. I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that was going on, right? I think we have a responsibility. We're doing it right now. We're trying to do it right now with everything we got in us to hit every possible way to talk to everyone that we can. But also, it's everybody else's responsibility, too, personally, you know, to say, hey, I never heard of that podcast. How come I didn't hear about it? That's what's the that's what's all the new rave, right? Well, I got to get in there. I got to listen to that, you know? That other side has to happen, too, as well. So, like, if you're a senior, shoot, if you're a staff sergeant in the VI community right now, right, and you don't know what's going on and what the future is going to be for you when you become a sergeant major one day, take some personal responsibility, too, on that. Make some phone calls. I'm like, hey, I heard they said, is that true? And get some answers for yourself, too, I think. I think that's probably, like, an intangible key to success that we don't think of a lot of times because you just do it. It's not taught in a school.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a block you check. It's not a green chiclet, you know, and a
so
slide.
Good.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's we're so lucky to have this one.
I know. We are lucky. We hit the lottery.
It's the big we.
Yeah.
The Army Communications.
Has this been an interesting podcast so far?
Definitely.
Are you
going
to tell everyone in 55th to watch this?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how long we're supposed to go. You know, we got some notes here. We haven't looked at it.
I'm going to visit 55th and ask them.
Hold on. I want to read
Sergeant Hernandez.
Don't read them. I don't.
I'm interested. I'm intellectually curious.
All right. Well, you read them.
All right. So talking points, transforming the machine, transforming talent management, and transforming equipment and acquisition. So these are the things we We talked about...
And the All Hands. Yeah.
And the All Hands. Yeah. So I don't think we've had time to hit them today, but this was more of a getting to know you.
Yeah.
Right? This is
like,
sitting around.
What are we trying to do?
First date.
Yeah, first date. Yeah. Oh, man. This is a getting to know you. We got to know Hernandez a little bit. Are you going to come back next time? Or are you a permanent member of this thing?
I mean, as long
the
as you want
no,
me,
you're
sir.
Not. We're going to cycle through. Well, I mean, okay. maybe we'll have a fifth seat then. I don't know. The intention, I think, was different people each time. So, but you've been great.
Yeah.
It's been fabulous having you here.
He's the best one.
He's the best one we've had so far.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, by far.
Out of the four of us.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. He's the only reason why people are going to show up to watch this thing. So.
He may or may not invite us back.
Maybe it's his podcast.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But so on that, I do want
to... I was trying to wrap us.
Yeah, I know. you wrapped us. We don't have to rewrap. I'll just say that we just anointed... Is that right? Four first sergeants?
Oh, yeah. We got some announcements to make.
Selected.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess in England, you anoint first sergeants.
Yeah. We anointed them with a diamond.
Yeah.
Not yet, but yeah, they will have it. Yeah, we did. We picked some really good first sergeants. Really good mass sergeants who are going to be first sergeants in the next year.
That's so awesome. Congrats to those folks.
I mean, we had a good field to pick from. We really did. I'm so pumped with the ones that we picked and the roles they're going to play. I mean, student debt, DEMFOS, 55th, those are huge places. 7th MPAD, I mean, those
big
are
deal.
Places yeah. where, big like, deal. These leaders are going to make a big difference to the future of our force.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, we were stoked about it. A bunch of salty sergeant majors got together and fought with each other for a little while. And
you were
we ended up
so... excited to tell me about that.
Yeah.
You were
you
like,
came back from that thing.
Yeah, glowing. You were like, we just took. Oh,
it's
awesome.
A great feeling though
when
you pull together, like, you know, the amount of years and wrinkles and gray hair that were sitting at that table arguing about, like, well, I want that one. No, I want that one. We all wanted all of them. Everybody
scene.
Did. It
That's
was great
awesome.
Though. We walked out of there fired up. We all.
Next time you do it, you ought to do it on the podcast.
I don't know.
Kidding.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do the announcement on the podcast next time. But
yeah,
that stuff, it does. It fires me up.
I know it does.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's
awesome.
It's important. It matters. It's a big deal.
We had six lieutenant colonels selected as colonels.
Mm, yeah. That's great news. Yeah, six new colonels in the Army.
Yeah. I called all of them. I was inspired by Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, just send me to a place that's hard where I can make a difference.
Wow. That's
like,
awesome. That's great.
This is it. Wait, you're not telling me you need like some special treatment or something? And he was like, I just want to go do hard things that matter.
Good stuff.
I can't get enough of this dude.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we need to be across the field. First sergeants, sergeants majors. Staff sergeants, everybody just needs to go out there and friggin' get after it. I mean, this is I think we talked about, like, our responsibility, and we did, you know, we talked about kind of the responsibility that we all have as communications professionals. It's both ways.
Mm.
And to make our community better, we're going to have to all do our jobs really friggin' well. And by our jobs, I mean... It's a way of life, you know. Doesn't start at the 9 o'clock stand up, you know.
Yeah.
I know we care a lot about soldiers' lifestyle and taking care of people and families and everything, but if you signed up for public affairs, you know, you signed up for a way of life that's going to bleed into your personal life and the weekends and stuff. And I mean, I love it. So
yeah.
What's not to love?
Seriously,
it's interesting. It's exciting.
Yeah,
it satisfies your intellectual curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stuff, and I get to see the stuff that this guy's creating.
Mm.
I mean, to his point earlier, it's an art. Nobody else in the Army is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
A great mechanic is an artist too, but when you see your stuff, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get what we
sign
do.
Me up again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sign me up again.
Words of wisdom for closeout. What do you got?
Hey, words of wisdom. I would say, hey, this podcast is only going to work and be something that's useful for you guys and worth us sitting down here talking like we are. If we kind of know what they are saying, across the field. So I would say, hit us up, you know, like, tell us, what are you hearing? What are they saying? And then we can talk about it during this podcast together openly, you know, and try to answer some questions and talk about what people are saying. We'll give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Maybe what they said is not right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's my final words.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks, everybody.